Just wanted to, you guys let me forget to turn it on last night, and I got yelled at this evening. So, no, he didn't yell at me. But just want to tell you thank you again for allowing me to come up. I wish my family could have came up with me, but when I get back home, I fly home tonight, and we'll have about a day and a half there, and when we head out, we'll be gone most likely for about 6 months from our house, from the church house. We live in the basement of the church house, so it's been good that my wife was able to stay, and she's been able to get everything prepared, and all we got to do is get loaded up and headed out Saturday morning for Nebraska. So just, if you would, just continue to pray for us. Just want to thank you for having allowing me to come up. Thank you for the good place to stay and the good food to eat and good fellowship. And I seriously, you know, I just don't say things. I really feel at home here. I do, because, you know, this church believes like I do and like my sending church does. And you're my brothers and sisters in Christ, and it's good to be here. If you have your Bible with you tonight, and you should, turn to Acts chapter number 1. And we're going to read the first 11 verses, if you'll stand with me tonight. The first 11 verses of Acts chapter number 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Tonight I just want to just preach just kind of a question. Now what? Now what? Let's pray. Kind of most gracious Heavenly Father, just want to just thank you so much, Father, for this day. Thank you so much, Father, for life, and I ask that you please just be with us now, and Father, use your word in the hearts of people. Father, please just use your servant tonight. Help me to speak the things that you want. I ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. You know, this is our passage of Scripture. We know this is a pretty big deal. If you would have been here this day, you know, think about what you've gone through the last several weeks if you would be one of these men. You not only saw your Lord crucified, you saw him hang on the tree. And think about the night before that when you deserted him in the garden. You know, you saw him hung on that tree, he died, and then, you know, he was buried and he rose again the third day. Now he's been with them. And now, you know, they're standing there, and you know, the Bible talks here, and it talks just a little bit about, it says in verse 3 about his passion. His passion. And we're not going to preach on passion, but I mean, just look at this. This is pretty interesting. This passion here, it means to suffer. That's what it means. When I think of passion, I think of, you know, that man's passionate towards his wife. Well, that means she makes him suffer. Amen. No. This passion, he suffered for us. He had such love for us that he was willing to suffer. For us. You know, in James chapter 5, turn to James chapter number 5. Another passage in Scripture that talks about a person with passion. Verse 16, it says, "Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another," in chapter 5, "that ye may be healed, and effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." It says, "Elias, also a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, that it rain not on the earth for a space of 3 years and 6 months." It says, like passions as we are. Like passions. James says that Elijah had like passions as we have. That's pretty neat. Turn back to Acts chapter number 14. Acts chapter 14. Look at verse number 15, and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you." You know, we see in this passage, you know, they were going to sacrifice to Barnabas and Paul. They thought Barnabas was Jupiter, and they thought Paul was Mercurius. They were going to sacrifice. He says, no, don't do this. We're men of like passions as you. Passions, it caused them to do something. Caused them to do something. They were similarly affected. They desire, with desire, love, fear, hope, joy, all these things. They had this passion, And you know, Christ, you know, in the beginning of Acts, it talks about Christ had passion, You know, we get this so confused with what we call passion today. Passion of lust? No, not even such a thing. Passion, you know, I have a passion for sports? No. You know, I see some people that are pretty wild. They dude up their body, they paint it with paint and all this other stuff, and they say that they're passionate about their team. This is not like this. His passion was that he came from heaven to suffer on the tree for us so that we might have a way to heaven. That was his passion. His passion was suffering for us on the cross. His passion made a way for mankind to be saved, whosoever will. And then he ascended, and he left what? What did he leave there? That wasn't my phone. What did he leave there? He left a church. He left the very first church. And what is a church? You know, I learned in Bible Institute that it's a local assembly of baptized believers coveted together to carry out the Great Commission. We have one job. One job. And he left them. But what did he call them? In verse number 8. In verse 8, he says this. He says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." What did he say that he left? You know, we know that he left the church. What did he say he left? A witness. A witness. You know, sometimes we get blocked by, hey, yes, I'm a member of this church, you know, and this is what we believe, this is what we're going to do, and we don't realize that Christ left us here for one purpose, to be a witness. And he's trying to show them these things here. Think about this. Look at verses 6 and 7. What were they worried about again? Again. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, this is the most important thing to them, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" Always worried about that. Why? Because of their past. You know, many times we're worried about so many things of our past, things that are really of no consequence. God made me a new creature to where I could serve Him. But they're still worried about this kingdom being restored to Israel. And what does he say to them? Verse 7, and he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power." He said, don't worry about that, did he not? He says, that's not any of your concern. You know, when's the Lord going to come back? I honestly wish He'd come back right now. I wish we'd hear, burp, burp, and we're gone. the voice of their archangel, whatever he says, come up, whatever it is, I want to go now. I want to be in his presence, and I know I'd meet my family up there. But I'm supposed to look for him, but I'm not supposed to be worried about it. I'm not supposed to be arguing about it. I'm not supposed to be arguing about all this other stuff. He says, don't you be worried about that. He says, your mission is the Great Commission. He left him there. He left him there to be a witness. A witness. He says, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea. You know, I remember distinctly another place in the Bible that it talks about a witness. A witness. Turn back to John chapter number 1. John chapter 1. You know, and I'll say this again because I like the way it sounds. You know, Jesus was Baptist. Who baptized him? John the Baptist. You know, that first church was Baptist. Who baptized those guys? Exactly, right? So what's the purpose of a Baptist church? Well, let's just read John chapter number 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We see John had one purpose. What was that? What was he supposed to do? The same, you know, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for what? For a witness. For a witness. You know, you read this passage and you read these different things in the book of John. I love the book of John. You know, you read these things and you can see, and we're going to go through this, you can see that this witness contains four things. A witness contains four things. And this is kind of where we're going to park tonight. You know, Christ tells the church there in Acts chapter 1 that they shall be a witness. You know, here we see the first witness. This is our Baptist forefather, is it not? There's four things in this witness. The very first thing that I want to look at tonight is, you know, what does witness contain? Life. Life. You know, the Bible says that, you know, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What does it say here in John chapter 1? It says, in him was life. Who's this? This is Christ. Christ. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. You know, he created life. You know, it says, in the beginning, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. He created life. You know, this witness, the very first thing that we see, that it has life. Life. You know, I am born spiritually dead, am I not? When I was born spiritually dead. Christ came to bring me what? Life. Life. Why? Because what does it say in verse 4? In him was life. In him was life. Think about these things. And we look at this, in him was life. This very second thing that we see in witness is what? And that life was what? The light of men. The light of men. So we see the second thing here. We see, you know, not only in him is life, but that life brings light. Light. And, you know, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You know, you preached about the man with the vision. He was in darkness. Who brought him light? Christ brought him vision, light. We see these things. We see, you know, we see that life, you know, the life, he was life, and that light was the light of men. Life, not death, not destruction. Life eternal, not just this life here, but life eternal with God. We see that life, you know, that life and light was brought by who? By him. And it says here, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness. This witness, the first two things that this witness contains is life and light. Life and light. Which is pretty neat. And so, if we go on and we read this, we go on and reread in the chapter here, look at verse number 17. Look at verse 15. It said that John came for a witness. In verse 15, what did John do? He bare witness. He did his job. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Grace and truth. The next thing that our witness contains is truth. Truth. What is true? You know, everything that is true is Christ. Everything that's contained in this book is truth. This witness contains this, truth. And the greatest thing about truth is if you turn to John chapter number 8, look at verse number 31. And Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then they are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth shall make you free. We see that this truth brings what? Freedom. From what? Well, if you look at this passage and take it in context, from sin. I was in bondage. It will make you free. It will liberate me. It will liberate me from the bondage of sin. In verse number 34, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." That word servant means to be a slave of sin. And he came so that I could be what? Free. Could have freedom. So, you know, this witness that we see, it contains these four things, which I find that are pretty neat. Life, light, truth, and freedom. That's a pretty big deal. You know, that's why I have the box here. If we took this box right here, and we said, "This is witness." I don't normally use visual illustrations, but we're going to tonight. This is witness. We say witness contains what? Life, light, truth, and freedom. We could say that basically that it's this book, right? But who's called to be a witness? Who is called to be a witness? I didn't grab somebody else's Bible, but we'll just put this in here and say I put the Bible in here. Now it's all sealed up. It's ready to go. Have you ever gotten one of these? If it fits, it ships, man. You can ship it, right? But the thing is, if we say this is witness, how's it going to get anywhere unless someone takes it? It can't. It cannot. You know, if I said, "Okay, here we go. Let's see if it moves." It's not going to sprout legs, is it? Brother Wyatt's pretty smart. He says it's not going to move. How would it move? How would it move? Someone's going to have to carry it. And the thing is, that from what I understand, what we read in Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8, is it says that ye shall be witnesses. Now, I'll get off my notes and I'll probably mess up big time. But, you know, that shall be, how many ever heard of Romans chapter number 10, verse number 13? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, right? And what do we say that shall be saved means? Maybe, if God's in a good mood and He hears you that day, maybe you'll be saved. Do we say that? No. Shall be saved. We say it's a definite, right? Well, I mean, we pound that into people. You know, when somebody gets saved, I mean, they repent and they accept Christ. We show them that verse. Now, hey, look, that's not a maybe. That's not, hey, if God's in a good mood or He can hear you that day, or hey, if you said it just right, you might be saved. We don't do that. We say you will be saved. It is a definite. You shall be saved. But then we take Acts chapter number 1, verse 8. It says, ye shall be witnesses. And we say, no, that's not a definite. I don't think I need to do that. Shall be. You know, that's a maybe. That's a, well, it, you know, if I'm in a good mood that day. We say the one verse means one thing, and then when it comes to that verse, which causes me to work and be accountable, and that Christ says, I shall be a witness, I say, well, this may be. And the whole time, the box of witness goes nowhere. Why? Why? Why don't we get it? Why do I mess up so much when it comes to this thing of being a witness? Why? Why can't I just stay focused on the one thing that He left me here to do? Well, you know, He doesn't leave a whole big laundry list. What does it say? Turn back to Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. What else is in that verse? What else is my job in that verse? He's talking to the very first church, leaving these men. He's given them the commission already. He's getting ready to ascend. And He says, ye shall be witnesses. He doesn't say, you know, fill in the blank, whatever is your, you know, whatever you think that you need to do more than be a witness. That's why the churches are left here. To reproduce. To be a witness. To be here to serve Him. It's the greatest thing that we could ever do. It's the greatest answering of a calling that any man, a greatest calling any man could have upon his life. The greatest calling any woman could have on her life. To be a witness. To be a witness. I'm not talking about call preach. I'm talking about to be a witness. And he doesn't say, well, hey, okay. Okay, guys, you know, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, you guys are going to be a witness. You know, then Philip, Bartholomew, and you guys, you can just come over here and you don't have to do anything. And you can list the other ones. I'd have to sing the song to name them all off. You won't, I could, but I won't. But the thing is, he doesn't say, you know, just you three. And I don't want you to do this. I got something else for you. He says, ye shall be a witness. A witness. Why? Because that witness is who I am. You know, Does that not define the person that God saved? You know, we looked at the woman at the well. You know, she knew this verse before Christ ever spoke it. It's inherent with salvation. I'm saved, someone else needs to know. And we get so bogged down, we get bogged down and sidetracked with other things that we're not a witness. You're supposed to be a witness here in North Pole. You know, this is Santa Claus's home, your preacher told me today. You're supposed to be a witness here. And the thing is, are you? In all honesty, are you a witness here? I don't know if Alaska's got counties. I didn't have a chance to ask him, but in your county here, are you a witness here? What about in all of your state? Are you a witness here? What about the rest of North America? What about the rest of the world? It's where we're supposed to be a witness. And the thing is, we can be, you know, if we want to, we can be a witness in all of them at the same time. This church can be. You know, this box of witness, I grabbed a couple prayer cards before. This is the guy you're supposed to pray for. If you get a chance, you can pray for me. And look, missionary's getting his wallet out. It's getting desperate, isn't it? Let's look here. Let's look what I got in here. This is Rand, South African. For him to go, it's going to take a lot of that. Oh, look, I even got Chilean pesos. 5,000 of them. This is about $10. There's more money in there for me than him, just by the way. But the thing is, for your witness to get to South Africa, for your witness to get to Chile, we got to have support. And you can give to help us take your witness there. I can't help you take your witness here, but I can help you take your witness to Chile. And that's exactly what I'm going to do when I get there. So the thing is, you know, the question is, are you going to take this box of witness here to your community? You know, over in South Africa, one of the biggest things that I learned, and I've been praying about this, is that if I want to reach into a community, I don't have to learn everything about them. I don't. I just got to win one of them. Win one of them. And disciple him. Get him trained. And, you know, win one of them that wants to share the gospel. You know, and if I win somebody that they don't want to share the gospel, guess what? Well, maybe they just need to be put off to the side. And I go find one that does. Well, I'll do Bible studies with you, but I'm going to focus on this person here. I learned that from Jeff Lang. Focus on the receptive. And what Brother Hammett hammered into me, and my pastors hammered into me, is that the devil will put people into your ministry and into your church that will suck up about 85% of your time. And you need to have the discernment to focus on the receptive, the people that are willing to learn and want to learn. What does that mean for me? You know, when I was studying, and when I was, you know, I'm still a member of our church. When I was there, I wanted to be one of the receptive ones. Because, you know, it's not that the squeaky wheel gets the oil. I didn't want to be a squeaky wheel. I wanted to be a well-oiled wheel. And I wanted to be helping our church be a witness in our community. And that's how I trained. I trained by being a witness in Knobnoster, in Johnson County, in Missouri. And we went all to all those places while we were there. You know, when I said Missouri, brother, yes, Missouri, whatever. I've been around too many heathen northern folks, and I'm starting to say it wrong. Colorado, you know, hey. But the thing is, I served. Why? Because I knew that God saved me for a purpose. You know, I had a good career. I had a good job. I was making plenty of money. But you know, we got out of debt. You know, just paying for our house, and that's it. You know, and that's all we had. I mean, we were doing pretty good. And then, you know, missions time would come around, and the Lord would be like, "I want you to up your missions." Yes, sir. I tell my wife, "Hey, the Lord wants us to up our missions." She's, "You sure?" "Yeah, okay." I said, "Okay, that's what we're going to do." And you know, and the Lord provided every single time. I made a commitment, "Hey, I'm going to give so much to missions," and I did it. Why? Because the Lord empowered me to do so. Why? Because I wanted Calvary Baptist Church's witness to be carried throughout the world. And we support like almost 50 missionaries or something like that. And you know, we try. And we're looking to take on a few more too. But the thing is, I had to make a decision in my own life that I was going to take this witness beyond myself. Should I focus on my family? Oh, yes. I spend time with my family. Have I made mistakes and not done things right sometimes? Oh, yes. I've messed up. But my purpose is to raise my family godly and be a witness. And in being a witness and is being a good church member. It's the truth. So the question is tonight, is what are you going to do with the box of witness that God has given you and left you with? He's left it to you. You know, and the fact of the matter is, we could throw the box away. He's put all that inside of you. This is just, you know, just an illustration. It's really not in here. It's in you. So what are you going to do with that? Here's some things that you can do with it. You can take it outside of your house. You can take it outside of this house. And you can give it out. You know, and there may be some young men in here. There may be some married men in here. There may be some older men in here that God is calling to full-time service. Why wouldn't you answer? Why wouldn't you allow God to use you, maybe in Chile, maybe in South Africa, maybe in one of these native tribes around here? Why wouldn't you? What would keep you from that? Because everything, you know, I figured out a long time ago, everything that I have, one of these days, you know, I'm either going to die and have to give it to somebody else, or it's going to burn up in a fervent heat. And it's going to burn up anyway, even if I give it to somebody. You know, everything that I have, the only thing that I'm going to be able to keep is the things that I do for Christ. That's it. And the souls that we send to heaven. You know, they don't belong to me, but you want to know something? Sure, it's going to be nice to see some of the people that the Lord's allowed me to lead to the Lord up there already. You know, I got a couple grandmas up there. I didn't lead them to the Lord, but I'm going to get to see them one of these days. You know, and I got one grandfather, you know, my mom's dad. I believe he's in heaven. He had a testimony of salvation before he passed away. But then there's some other folks that I've gotten to lead to the Lord. There's a young lady that lives in Toronto. Her name is Lisa Chu. She came to our church several times, and I got to lead her to the Lord. There's other folks. Cindy Biggs. Jason Young. Different people that God's allowed me to work in their life. To take witness to them. And He's used me. And guess what? One of these days, I've not seen them for a while. But one of these days in heaven, I'm going to get to see him. That's the whole thing. He's up there, and he's going to come back one of these days. You know, and he's left us, and I could hammer this point home again if you would like for me to. He's left us to be a witness. It says, "You shall be witnesses." you shall be. I'll just leave it at this. Are you? Are you? And will you take this box of witness and help it go throughout the whole world? It's not maybe. It's not, well, I'll pray about it. It's right now, yes or no. Will you take witness to other folks? And that could mean taking it physically. Hey, can I talk to you about the Lord today? Or it could be, Lord, you want me to give that to missions? I will. So I can send it to other countries. It could be that. You could be here tonight and the Lord's calling you to preach. I don't know. I don't know anybody's heart. I don't know nothing. All I know is I sat in services just like this and God called me to preach. I was like, if that's what you want me to do, Lord. Because in all honesty, and I'll shut up, the last time I checked, and I've said this before here, it's an honor to serve a king. Especially with what we get to serve him with. We get to be a witness. A witness. And that witness, in the end result, sets people free. Free. Let's pray. Kind, most gracious Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much, Father, for this night. I thank you, Father, for all the folks that are here. I ask that you please just bless each and every one of them, Father, please. Please help them. Father, if you're dealing with somebody's heart tonight, I pray that you give them the courage to just come forward, just get it right. It's just to deal with you and deal honestly with you, Father. I pray above all else that people would just ask you to say, hey, let me see my heart before you. And if you're calling me or you want me to do something different than what I'm doing now, please just show me and help me have the desire to do differently for you, Father, please. Please help with decisions, Father, and help just in whatever way it is. Father, if there's somebody here tonight that does not know your Son as Savior, I pray that you please help them to see that need. Come forward and get a hold of somebody so they can show them out of the Bible how they too can be set free. I love you, Father. I ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Pastor Dimlow.